All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter this morning, chapter number 2, and stand when you find that. 1 Peter chapter 2, it's near the back of the Bible. If you get to Hebrews, the next one after that is James, and then the next one after that is 1 Peter. And we'll be in chapter 2. All right, let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile." Now, before we read on in this, let me go ahead and say that he says, "Wherefore," because he's referencing the power of the Word of God and the work of the Word of God in us. Because in verse 23, look what it says of the previous chapter. Chapter 1, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God." So he's referencing the Word of God. In verse number 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass." So that's the power of man. That's the power of this world. Let me say it this way. It's the power of the devil. And God says that power will wither under the mighty hand of God. God's power makes the power of this world and the power of your flesh and the power of the devil just fade away, as it says. It falls away. Verse 25, "The word of God endureth forever." And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Then he says in verse 1, "Wherefore?" So because of that great truth of the power in the word of God, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This morning we're going to be talking about, well, let me just give you the title. Keep on coming to Christ. Amen. Keep on coming to Christ. We get away, so what do? Keep on coming to Christ. That's what we're going to talk about. One more time, let's pray. Father, we do one more time ask for your touch in the lesson. Bless as we seek to hear from you and honor you through this lesson and the message. Please work in our heart. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I was thinking about that phrase, keep on coming to Christ, and I kept thinking about the things that we need to continue to come back to. You know, there are things in life that we need to continue to come back to. We need to continue to come back to the things that the Lord has called us to. You know, he puts his hand on us, doesn't he? And he loves us. And he speaks to us through conviction. You know, isn't it amazing that God loves us so much that he never gives up on us? Isn't that a blessing? To know that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to give up on you. He continues to come back and draw you back to him. You know, and so we get away from him and then we get ourselves in a mess and we wonder, you know, it's so difficult. It's such a trying season in my life right now because of these circumstances. And often it's circumstances that we got ourselves into because maybe we were doing it our way and we're thinking about things our way and we're making up, you know, we're developing strategies to do it our way instead of just knowing, okay, God's way is the best way. And if I just do it his way and I trust him through this entire process, then his hand is going to be upon it. And then God's blessings are going to be there. And then his power is going to be there. And then there's going to be healing and there's going to be peace and there's going to be relief and there's going to be joy. And all of the things that we really are searching for when we start doing things our way, God gives it to us. But it requires us to have faith. Why? Because God's ways aren't our ways. And we're not always comfortable with God's ways. However, we are comfortable with doing it our way. We're comfortable with, you know, decision and processing things and reasoning things out and trying not to, you know, disrupt anything when God says, no, you need to just listen to me and do it my way and follow me and my blessing, my hand will be there. But because we struggle with that, we struggle with faith, then we do it a different way. And then we get away from God and then we're in that mess and we're in that struggle And we don't have that peace. We don't have those, you know, those blessings of the fruit that God promises us when he's in control of our heart. And so we're down. We get down and we're low and we wonder, how can I get this right? Can I get this right? Can I be right? You know, I think that a lot of times this is where people get when they just completely throw in the towel and say, I don't care anymore. When you feel like there's no hope. You feel like there's no chance of recovery or coming back. But what we need to recognize this morning is that it's never the truth. It's always a lie from the devil to think there's no hope for recovery.
Amen.
It's always a lie. Right. But we have to embrace even that truth by faith. Because we, you know, like I said just a moment ago, we so easily get away from the things of God, and we so easily, in that departure from God, we lose the blessings of God, ironically, right? So we're looking for those blessings doing it our way, but in fact, we lose the blessings because we did it our way, and that's the irony of it. And so then when we're away and things are breaking down and we're far from where we need to be, we start to wonder, can we even come back? Can we even recover? Can we even have God's hand on us again? The devil wants you to think that you cannot. God wants you to have the understanding, really the truth to be confirmed in us through the work of the Holy Spirit that, yes, you actually absolutely can come back to the Lord. But that's where we have to take that step. We have to say, okay, today's the day. I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to be where he wants me to be. I'm actually pretty tired of doing it my way. I'm actually pretty tired of living life like this. You know, and it's just, if we feel like we're on that roller coaster, don't we? You know, it's because we want to be right, and then we get down, and we want to be right, and then we get down. And when you live that way for so long, you wonder, can you even recover from this? Is God getting tired of me? Is his hand still available to be on my life? Can there be healing? And there can. That's what God wants his people to see in this passage. Really, I see here sort of a roller coaster of the Christian life in this passage, because he's speaking to the things that we struggle with whenever he gave that list in verse number one, and we're going to talk about that list here in just a minute, but he's talking about the things that Christians need to put aside or move out of their life, but these things are not, watch, these are not things that we move out of our life one time and then we have it. These are things that we move out of our life and then they have a way of coming back into our life, and so then we have to move them out of our life again. And so it's a constant work that God is doing in us to, you know, to set aside things that need to be set aside. And like, well, am I abnormal? Am I strange that I have this problem? You're not strange. You're not abnormal. You don't have to live. We don't have to live with this frustration. If we would just trust the Lord in a consistent way and have faith to know, okay, so if I do it the Lord's way, then God's blessings will be there. And, you know, then there can be the consistent joy and the consistent fruit of the Spirit. It's a promise from Lord, and we know that it can be there. And Peter wants his people to know that. He wants God's people to know this. Because they're in listen, the Christians that Peter is writing to, they're going through difficult things. And that's really the umbrella that's over, or the foundation that this book was written to strengthen God's people who are going through persecution and trials and difficulties. And God wants his people to know that they can stand. But you can't stand on your own. You can't stand on your own feet and on your own will and on your own way and own intellect and all these things. No. We need him. We need him. We need to stand on him. We need to stand on his principles and on his truth. And so, listen, already at the beginning, before we even get into the passage and start breaking things down, we need to know right at the beginning, a choice has to be made. A choice has to be made. You have to let go of doing it your way, and you have to embrace God's way. You have to let go of making decisions and processing things your way. Let go of that and embrace God's direction in your life, his will for your life, whatever that is. And whatever process it is that he's leading you, the steps that he's leading you to take through whatever process you're going through right now. You need to release and let go of doing it your way and say, God, I want to do it your way. I want to follow you. I want to take the steps that you're leading me to here. And one step at a time, I'm going to have to trust that you're going to make it work out. Amen. And by faith, knowing that you are true and you are faithful and it's going to be okay and God is good. And just to know that that's true and that he's going to be there every step. Now you have to, like right at the beginning, we have to know that this is the ultimate decision that has to be made. If this passage is going to have an effect in your life, this is where you're going to be funneled to this morning. You're going to have to let go of doing it one way and embrace faith that God's to follow the Lord and trust him. And by the way, can I go ahead and say, I'm a little bit loud. I feel, okay, let me just go down because nobody's back there. We'll just go down a little bit. So it's okay. Can we turn me down just a little bit, Brother Brian? Thanks. Let's just take a look. Now I lost where I was. Verse number one. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." So let's pause there for a minute. This is quite a list, isn't it? First of all, he says laying aside. That word laying aside has to do with putting off or putting away. It just means to rid yourself of these things. And by the way, can I say that there are some things that we need to rid ourselves of? I mean, there's a great list here, but, you know, I mean, there's some, like if you're a diabetic, you probably need to get cupcakes out of your house. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to rid them. I mean, you're like, well, you know, I'll just get some cupcakes and I'll be strong. I'm pretty sure you won't be strong. You're a diabetic for a reason. Because of those cupcakes, you know, you got to get them out. That's what he's saying. Lay aside. Get rid of them. You got to get them out of the house, you know. Okay, so there are some things in our life. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we got to get it out. We got to rid ourselves of it, you know. But we're going to need God's help to do that. And by the way, you keep going to the grocery store, you know, and you keep going down that aisle and you're like, okay, well, today, you know, one won't hurt. You know how we are, right? So like you had 3 weeks, you did great, but then... And then boom, there you go. You bought the box of ho-hos or whatever. So that's how it is. I mean, listen, we can rid ourselves and we need to rid ourselves of these things by casting these things out. We also need to be watchful and gird up the loins of our mind, like he said in chapter 1, because they're going to creep their way back in. And so this is where we need to trust. Okay, so God is faithful and I need to trust that he knows what he's doing. And every day I need to resurrender to what he has for me. And this, and by the way, that's why we need to be in church, because God keeps bringing us back to this, doesn't he? He keeps working in us to bring us back to this, you know, this decision to surrender my way and trust God's way. Let's take a look at these specifics, though. He says, first of all malice. That word malice means extreme enmity of heart, or the spirit of revenge. Now, I feel like this is dramatic. Right? The spirit of revenge or malice. But, you know, this is a temptation for people who've been hurt. This is a temptation for people who've been, deeply emotionally hurt. So there would be a temptation to be filled with malice, a desire for revenge. You know, that vengeful sort of feeling, you hurt me so much. And I just want you to hurt now, you know. Now, here's what God is saying. This spirit of malice, no matter how much our mind, our emotions, the feelings that we have lead us to justify those feelings, God says they have no place in the heart of a believer, and they need to be gotten rid of. They need to be cast out, you know. They need to be out. These feelings of malice have no place in the hearts of believers. That's what he's saying here. Look at verse number one again. He says, laying aside all malice and all guile. That word guile means deception, dishonesty, disloyalty, and betrayal. So, you know, deception, basically, it feels like guile is very similar to hypocrisy, but the difference between guile and hypocrisy is when you present yourself as something that you're not, and guile is when you say or speak of things that are dishonest. And so guile is to be dishonest. You think, well, you know, good thing I never am dishonest. Okay, well, you must not be a human then. you know? Because guess what? As humans, we all have a tendency to be dishonest. All of us. Like, there's nobody in here who doesn't at times, you know, the reality is here, but then the way we present things is not the way the reality is, you know? And God says, okay, so you might be able to identify things in your life right now where there's guile there, there's disloyalty, there's dishonesty that's happening. And God says, this is something that should have no place in the heart of a believer. Now remember, you're like, oh man, Pastor, we've only gotten two in and I feel guilty. Well, I mean, that's sort of the point, right? These are things, this list wouldn't be given to us in 1 Peter chapter 2, by the way, is where we are. This list wouldn't be given to us if this wasn't things that come into our life as believers. If this wasn't something that Peter knew and God knows we need to address. And by the way, I'm getting the cart a little before the horse, and I already said this though, but this is something that we need to address routinely. And these are things that come into our life, and we get them out of our life, and then they come back into our life. And we might think, well, something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm not really saved, or maybe I'm not really, a true believer, or something's deeply wrong with me, because most other Christians, obviously, they're not going to struggle with these things like I do. And you're deceived to think that. It's not true. We all have these battles, and these tendencies there's tendency at times for these things to creep back into our life. And so what we need to do is continuously evaluate where we are in our walk with God, with virtue, as he talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, which eventually we'll, I'm sure, be studying through 2 Peter. But virtue is sort of an internal desire. Here's what God wants to do in us. He wants to constantly, from the foundation of salvation, work in us a desire to want to be right with God. And my guess is that's where you are this morning. I want to be right with God. And so there's a desire to say, okay, I have malice, but I don't want it in my life. I mean, you know, malice. Malice meaning extreme enmity. The desire for revenge. That's the first thing listed. Do you think that's going to bring joy to your life? Well, James and John, remember when the sons of thunder, when they're talking to Jesus, why don't you, like Elijah, and pray fire down from heaven and let's just consume them. I mean, that's what they're thinking. Revenge. And if we can destroy them with the flame, then I'll feel better, you know. But you won't feel better. That's not where joy comes from. The spirit of revenge and malice, that needs to be cast out of our soul and our spirit, our mind. The second thing he said here was guile. And this is just dishonesty and disloyalty. Hypocrisies. The word hypocrisy is to pretend to be something you're not. The word literally comes from the use of a mask. And like, whenever you get around certain people, you're one way. And then you get around another set of people and you're another way. It's like you have the mask for the different groups of people that you're around. And this has no place in the hearts of believers. And by the way, you're like, well, you know, I don't want to go to that church. There's hypocrites there. And we know the joke, right? Well, I mean, come on, because what's another one? You know, we all struggle with this, okay? And we're like, even you, Pastor? I'm a human too, you know? And I'm not saying that I want to be this whenever this happens in my soul. There ought to be a spirit of virtue there to say, I don't want this in my life. But we're all dishonest if we don't admit that there's times when that temptation is there and it's like that roller coaster that we're on sometimes when we know, okay. And by the way, do you think that there's anybody who would have more of a temptation to be a hypocrite than the pastor? Hello, it's my job to be godly and to be, you know, a great example. It's my responsibility, and it's a great responsibility, and I don't want to take it lightly. But there, you know, whenever there's a struggle there, you know, there would be a temptation for me to just, okay, here we go. I'm going to go into church and then I'm going to pretend in front of everybody. If that's happening in my life or if that's happening in your life, there ought to be something in you that says, I don't want to be like this. I don't want this to be who I am today. I just want to be what God wants me to be. And I want to, like he said, cast these things away. The spirit of hypocrisy. I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next one is envies. Envies. This is to be discontent or jealous of what somebody else has. You know, I see what I have, and I, you know, maybe in a lot of ways you love what you have, but then you see what somebody else has, and then there's envy there, there's discontentment that develops. And, you know, that spirit of jealousy is sort of like a bitterness in you, isn't it? That spirit of envy kind of hurts right here, or sort of boils here. It makes you feel ill, you know. Envy makes you feel ill. Discontentment makes you feel ill. I mean, if I sure wish that I had something else, and you feel sick right here, you know. And whenever you have those, you know, when you have those emotions and those feelings, it can really discourage. The last one, look what he says, evil speaking. Evil speaking is slander, like backbiting, driving wedges between believers. You know, this is when believers talk about other believers. And you're like, well, you know, so-and-so, and then we talk about them in not in a good way. This is all these things, by the way, are destructive to the body of Christ. And all of these things need to be put off. Listen, if somebody has something negative to say about somebody else in the church, we don't have to be unkind about it, but we need to ask God for His help to change the subject or to put a stop to that. Because it hinders the growth of God's people. And you're like, well, good thing I never struggle with this. Yeah, I think maybe we all have a tendency to think of ourselves one way and think of somebody else a different way. And we need to be mindful of what our tendency is and decide, okay, I don't want these to be a part of my life. I want to put these things off. They do want to come back, though. So what do we need to do? We need to replace them. Look at verse 2. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So a baby, a newborn baby, desires the milk of the word. And so there, it's a metaphor. He's using the word milk. But the reason why he's using the word milk is because that's a baby desires the milk. Now the word desire there means to crave. And so he's hungry for the milk. And that's where we need to be. We need to replace what we've allowed to consume our heart with this list of things that's given in verse number 1. And that list needs to be replaced. So when we surrender, we need to surrender it with a hunger and replace it with a hunger for the word. If you're not hungry for the word, then you're vulnerable already to allow these things back into your spirit. You're like, well, you know, I can handle it. There's nobody who can handle this. Right. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. And we need to be in the Word of God. And if you're like, well, I'm not hungry for it, we need to ask God for His help to become hungry for the Word of God. To have a desire, a craving for the Word. I don't have a craving for it. Well, you know, how do you begin to develop a craving for anything? Then you make it a part of your life. And that's what we do with the negative things. And we say, we know we need to get those things out of our life and God will begin to change our heart. But we need to replace what we had been craving after and how we've been behaving and how we've been living with, a desire, a hunger for the Word of God. In that passage, he uses the word sincere. Look at it with me. Verse 2. As newborn babies or babes desire the sincere milk. So he's talking about the word of God, and he referred to the word of God as sincere. So that word sincere means guiltless. It means guiltless. So that's what we want.
Amen.
We want to be guiltless. I'm going to say that again, and then at least one person needs to say amen, okay? Amen. That's what we want. We want to be guiltless.
Amen.
I don't want to live a life of guilt.
Amen.
I don't want to live a life, you know, hungering for the things of this world and doing things my way and thinking that it'll satisfy and that I can manage and things will be okay and I can have this sort of, you know, balance act going on, but we're doing it my way. No. I don't want to think that I can satisfy in life whenever it won't satisfy. And you know what it'll always leave you with? Any one of these things that he listed here. The malice and the guile and the hypocrisy, all of these things. They'll leave you in guilt. You'll come to the other side of it and you'll feel bitter. Guilt. But God says, if you just trust me and you crave me and you crave my word and you just give yourself to me this morning, then the guilt will be gone. Right. Sincere milk of the word. The guiltless. Like, oh man, that's what I want. I just want the guilt to be gone. Do you feel guilty this morning? Yeah. God says, I can take that guilt away. How does he do it? The sincere milk of the word. We just need to trust him this morning. We got to stop leaning on the arm of the flesh. You know what I think we struggle with? I think we struggle with this. You know, Paul on the Damascus Road, he said, Lord, who art thou? Hoping that the answer wasn't Jesus. Remember that? Acts chapter 9. Lord, who art thou? I mean, think about that question for a second. He knows it's the Lord, but he doesn't know what his name is. Lord, who are you? Please don't say Jesus, because that's who Paul has been persecuting, Christians. He hated Jesus. The answer was, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So that's a bummer. So he found out that Jesus is God. Okay, Lord, who art thou? He found out Jesus is God. But here's why I brought this up. Why? What did he say next? Does anybody know? Verse 6. Don't turn there. Be a cheater now. Does anybody know what Paul said next? What's that? Lord. He said Lord again, by the way. What will thou have me to do? Do you think that he meant that?
Amen.
Watch this. You ready? Maybe this is you this morning. Maybe you're sick and tired of the guilt. I am. Maybe you would do this morning. You ready? Here we go. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Did you hear that?
Amen.
I think that's the answer, don't you?
Amen.
But not just the words. I mean, we can all say those words. But you'll find freedom if you'll surrender to God this morning and crave his word and say, Lord, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. It just leads me to guilt. What do you want me to do? That's what I want to do. Is it going to be better? Oh man, it's going to be guiltless. It's going to bring all the things that you're hoping for and God's hand will be on you. But what about the brokenness that's there? Can God put the pieces together? Oh yeah. He can put the pieces together, can't he? Well, how do you know? How do you know that? Well, look at verse 3. This is so amazing. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is, say that last word.
Gracious.
God is gracious.
Amen.
What's that mean? It means he gives you something you didn't deserve it.
Amen.
He gives you something you didn't earn it.
Amen.
He wants to put the pieces back together.
Yes,
he wants to bring healing to your soul. This is amazing because he's quoting from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, when David... No, turn there with me. Keep your finger here. But look at Psalm 34 with me. He's quoting directly from this great psalm David wrote. Look what it says. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, verse number 8. Look what it says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You can go back to Peter. When David wrote this, he was talking there in that passage and bringing praise to God for delivering him from all his fears. And you could read that psalm, and really that's what he's doing. He's praising God for delivering him. Now, the people that Peter is writing to, they would need deliverance, right? Guess what? That's what you and I need. We need deliverance. And here's what he's saying. When you decide to put off of these things, And then start hungering and craving for my word, God says. Craving my word. Trusting me, saying, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And giving it all to him. Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a taste that is good.
Amen.
I love the metaphor, don't you?
Amen.
He said taste. That touches me because I love food. I love savory, tasty things. And God says, but you'll never taste anything like this. His goodness, David says, and his mercy, David says. But when Peter said in his passage, speaking to God's people who are experiencing the roller coaster and the trial of life, knowing that these things come in and then they have to be cast out, and they come in and they have to be cast out, he says, taste and see that the Lord is gracious. And he'll bring grace to your life. We just need to keep coming back. Like, when I get away from him and I'm not where I should be, then you need to keep coming back. He's gracious. And the taste is always good when you come back, isn't it? It's always good. You're like, but does he ever get tired of me? No. His grace is always available. In fact, Paul said it this way. He giveth more grace. Think about that. It's just like, that's just it. That's the statement. How much grace? He just giveth more. Well, how much do you need? More. He just gives more. He never runs out. Right. Never ends. Like, but you don't know. I mean, I've needed God's grace so many times. Is he getting tired of me? No. He gives more grace. What you need to do is come and give your heart back to him. And what you'll find is the taste of God's grace is good. And it's available this morning. And we can seek him. We can get this right. We can be right with God this morning. We just need to take that step. We just need to keep coming back to him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Andrew, on Wednesday, I'm almost done here. Andrew, on Wednesday, was coming into the office area, and he was standing there by my door, and Andrew's growing fast. He's my third. He's 14 years old, and he's starting to shoot up, you know, this way. So we had just gotten him some pants like a couple of months ago, and he comes walking in with these new pants on, but they're like 3 inches up his ankle. Like, he walks in, and his pants are like this, you know? I mean, this I'm not exaggerating. Well, maybe a little exaggerated. It's about like that. I'm like, good night. What happened? Like, I don't know. We just got these pants, you know? I mean, I think maybe it's time for us to, you know, graduate out of those ones and let's get some new ones. You know, those pants, probably it's time to put those away. One time, there was a pastor friend of mine. He's preaching a sermon. And while he's preaching, he got real excited. And he was like this. And he just ripped the backside of his pants out. He had his jacket on, so he was just like, just standing behind the pulpit the rest of the time. Didn't get excited too much. Those pants maybe need to be graduated and, you know, put out. Here's what God says. There's some things we need to put out of our life.
Amen.
They need to graduate out of our life. They need to be gotten rid of. And they're not bringing joy.
Right.
They're never going to work out your way. I mean, you can keep doing it your way, but you're going to live with guilt. Yeah. And that's a bummer way to live. But if you start to crave for me, God says, and for my word, okay? By the way, that craving can begin in God's house because we deliver the message of God's word, and you can start to get hungry for the word of God in church, okay? And so the sincere milk of the word is, it brings a guiltlessness to our soul. And what you'll find when you put off these things and you embrace a hunger for God and for his word, here's what God says he'll do in your life. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
And then you'll say something like this. Oh, why did I wait so long? It's such a miserable life out without God.
Amen.
Filled with guilt, bitterness. And God can handle it.
He's
gracious.
Amen.
He's gracious. You need to come this morning, where you are, maybe at the altar this morning after the message, and just like Paul say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That's what I'm going to do. Father, this morning we're grateful for your word. I pray that you would help us to embrace the great truth that we studied. And Lord, I pray that for those that needed to hear this, which is, I think, all of us, certainly I needed it, I pray that you would help us to take that step of letting go of our way and trusting that you're faithful and that, Lord, not just that you're faithful, but that you're good and that you're gracious and that your blessing in your hand can be on our life again. No matter how many times we've gotten away, no matter how far we've gotten away, you're still there and you can still heal. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You're dismissed.